begin now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this chance to be gathered in your house to sing your praises, to lift up our prayers, to hear from your word. Father, we thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you, Father, that you not only give to us the gift of faith, but you also grow this faith within us. Father, we thank you that we have been purified, that we have been presented, that this has all happened through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, his atoning death on the cross, his victorious resurrection. We thank you that this became reality for us through the work of the Holy Spirit. For most of us, it began long ago in the waters of baptism. It's been nourished and fed at the Lord's table. Father, we thank you that you have then called us to be your servants in this world, to share this good news with those around us. Father, bless us in this time as we listen to your word. Father, speak to our hearts and to our minds. Plant your word deep within us so that it will bear the fruit that you desired, so that others will be blessed and that you will be glorified in season and out of season. And all of God's children, we all say, amen. Guys, before we get started, I want to invite you, I want to encourage you to open up your worship folders. And inside your worship folders, you're going to find space there for discipleship notes. I want to encourage you to open up and turn to that. Get out a pen or pencil, because I believe that God is going to speak to you through his word. That's what he likes to do in church. And I believe that God's word is meant to be a light unto your feet, a lamp unto your path, and that it will be helpful in directing you into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Our sermon text for today is Luke chapter 2, verse 22. Let me read it for us again. It says, "And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus," this is little baby Jesus, "up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." Our sermon is titled, "The Time Came for Their Purification." When you think of February 14th, what comes to mind? Valentine's Day. Ladies, you might be in trouble. Not all the men were responding to that. We have some work to do. Valentine's Day. Long before February 14th was ever known as Valentine's Day, February 14th was known as the day that we celebrate the purification of Mary and the presentation of Jesus. It wasn't until 357 AD when Rome and the Western Church moved Christmas from January 7th to December 25th, that then the purification of Mary and the presentation of Jesus then had to also move backwards. Because if you move the birth of Jesus backwards in time, then you also have to move what happened 40 days later backwards in time as well. And so that is why today, in the Western Church, we celebrate the purification of Mary and the presentation of Christ. But if you look at the rest of historic Christianity, the Eastern Church, the remnants of the Apostolic Church in Africa and in parts of Asia, you will still see that it is on February 14th that the purification of Mary and the presentation of Christ is remembered. And why do I bring that up? Well, I bring that up for a couple of reasons. I bring that up, first of all, because there are times within Christianity when we as Christians are tempted to make a great fuss over our traditions regarding Christmas, regarding Advent. You know, we have our way of doing things that we like to do them. We even have our way of criticizing people who don't do the things in the way that we do them. And so I bring this up to say that we should, in all humility, remember that the early church, and this was based on the Julian calendar that was adopted in 46 AD, and so this is a very early historic record, the early church celebrated Christmas on a different date. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, as great as tradition is, and I like tradition too. I mean, I like when we light the candles, you know, to light the Christ candle first, and then the candles on the altar, just to remind us that the light of Christ is greater than our light. I think there's strength in tradition. There's stability in tradition. There's a lot of good things, but we always need to remember, brothers and sisters in Christ, to keep the main thing the main thing. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. I also bring it up because it's important for us to think about the right to life. And so this Sunday, we are, as a church, remembering the importance of right to life. And I've chosen this Sunday because when we look at the picture of Mary and Joseph, and this is a picture of a newlywed couple that endured great difficulty, great challenge. My gosh, in the last 40 days of their new marriage, you know, they had to flee their nation because the king is after them to kill their son. They flee down to Egypt. They go through great difficulty, great hardship. And then now the 40 days have passed, so they have fulfilled the law according to Moses. And now they have come up to Jerusalem, and Mary is being presented for her purification, and Jesus is being presented himself. And they have gone by faith this entire journey. And brothers and sisters in Christ, when we think of right to life, of the issue of right to life, I would submit to you that the issue of right to life really comes down to trusting in God. That's really what it comes down to. Trusting in God, regardless of where your journey is. And so as a church, we encourage right to life. As a church, we also want to encourage those who are in a difficult journey today in their lives. Because the last thing people need is condemnation and judgment. What they need is to hear a word of grace, a word of mercy, a word of love. And even more than a word, somebody who will walk with them in their time of need. And so again, I want to encourage you on the way out of church to pick up some of our material on Right to Life Sunday. Support the effort if you can. I really commend that to you. So this is purification of Mary, presentation of Christ. That's what we're here to talk about this Sunday. And that's not something that we talk about in our culture today. Purification of Mary, presentation of Christ is not in our culture today. But it was there then. It was something that observant Jews did then. Why was this something that they did? Well, they did this because God commanded them to. There's a great reason right there. And we're going to look at Leviticus chapter 12 here in just a little bit. Well, actually, towards the end of the sermon. So, spoiler alert. But, till we get to that part, they did this because God commanded them to do this. And why? Because you go back to Genesis. You go back to the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve fall into sin. And because they sinned, then death entered into the world. And then because of sin, sin needs to be atoned for. It needs to be paid for through the shedding of blood. And so then, ever since then, God has been at work to purify his entire creation. And that's important for us to remember. When we think about Jesus coming to die on the cross to pay for sin, we think probably most likely about ourselves. He died to pay for my sin, right? And that makes sense because if there's anybody we want to make sure gets to heaven, it's who? It's me, right? It's ourselves. And that's good. That's important. But also, brothers and sisters in Christ, when we look at the story of the Garden of Eden and we look at what happens there, I want you to think about who do you see in the Garden of Eden and what do you see in the Garden of Eden? Because I want to challenge you this morning just to think about this, that everything that you hear mentioned in the Garden of Eden is then later mentioned in Scripture in a positive light in connection with Christ. I mean, start with the serpent itself. Jesus himself is compared to a serpent. It's said in Scripture that just as the serpent was raised up on the pole, that's referring to Moses leading the Israelites to the promised land, an incident that happened there and the journey. That just as the serpent was raised up on the pole, so the Son of Man also, when he is lifted up, he will draw all people unto himself. And then you look at the tree in the Garden of Eden. And it's said of Jesus that he was hung upon a tree. And you look at the fruit in the Garden of Eden. And it said of Jesus that he is the first fruit. Why is he the first fruit? Because he is the first to come out of the grave after sin has been paid for. In the Garden of Eden, you even see the clothing that God provides for Adam and Eve. And we know from Scripture that through Christ, we are provided with an ever more perfect clothing, the clothing of his righteousness. That's one reason why a lot of pastors wear a robe. Remember, remind us of the purification that we have in the waters of baptism. And so we see all these things, but obviously I'm leaving one out so far. Adam and Eve. We see Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they have been corrupted. And they are the high point. Humanity is the high point of all of God's creation. And that's why the writer in Hebrews says these words we need to take note of. Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and through 17. Listen to these words. It says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, listen to this, he himself, Jesus, likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect. Jesus took on the form of humanity so that he could redeem humanity, so that he could purify us, so that we could be presented before God as holy and righteous. Can we give God a praise clap for that this morning? Amen. Amen. It's such an amazing thing that Jesus has come to do that we read about in Luke chapter 2. I want to draw your attention to Luke chapter 2, verse 18. It says, because Jesus himself suffered when tempted. Now listen to those words. Jesus suffered when he was tempted. You and I really can't say that. Not most of the time. Not if we're honest with ourselves. Because if we're honest with ourselves, the truth of the matter is that we don't usually suffer when we're tempted. If we just be honest with ourselves. The truth of the matter is that there's a whole lot of times when we're tempted, we go ahead and give in to it for whatever reason. No, we don't suffer. It's not true of us, not most of the time. But it's true of our Savior. Scripture says that we have a high priest. He was tested and tried in every way, yet was found to be without sin. No, it's true of him. When it says he suffered when tempted, yeah, it's true of Jesus. And it says, it goes on, it says, because he suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when you face temptations, when you face challenges, when you face difficulties, when you face tests and trials, know this. First of all, Scripture says that you are not being tested in any way that's new to man, but as is commonly happens. But know this also, you have a Savior who was tested and tried in that way, and he overcame it for you. Can we give God a praise clap for that this morning? Amen. Amen. And then listen to this in Luke chapter 2, verse 22. It says, and when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Isn't that ironic? Isn't it? That they brought little baby Jesus, 40-day-old baby Jesus, to the temple to present him to the Lord. Because it was going to just be 33 years later when Jesus was going to march into Jerusalem of his own free will to be presented, to be taken by those religious leaders, to be crucified, to be humiliated, to be falsely charged, to be buried in a borrowed grave, and then thank the Lord to be raised 3 days later. He did this, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would be purified, that we would be able to be presented to our Father in heaven. He did this not to remove the law, but to fulfill the law. And he did this on our behalf. This was an amazing thing that happens in the temple on this day, and I want to dig into this just a little bit. Because Simeon says, I love these words, Simeon is described as a devout and righteous man there in Luke chapter 2. Simeon says that he has seen the Messiah that has been foretold. And he goes on to describe what it is that Jesus is going to do. But I love these words in particular from Simeon. Simeon says in verses 29 and 30, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation." And I love those words because for Simeon, he has joy because he has heard the word of God. He's believed the word of God. But along with the word of God, he sees something actually happening. And that brings joy to his heart. And that's how God speaks to us today also. He speaks to us through his word. And hopefully we have heard this word and we have believed this word. But God doesn't only work through his word. He works through physical means. And we say, where is that? And I would invite you to look at the place where you first walked into this sanctuary, at that baptismal font. Because there we find the word attached to physical means, water. And I'd invite you to look up here at the altar. Because here we see the word attached to a physical means, the bread and the wine. And through this, we see God at work. We see him providing for our salvation. We see him providing for growth and for strength in this walk of salvation. And like Simeon, we should also rejoice, brothers and sisters in Christ, because we know that we've been purified. We know that we have been presented. We know that we have been adopted. And we know that we have eternal life. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you to write down this chapter and verse and to look it up later. In Leviticus chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, is where we get the purification regulation that we're seeing discussed and referenced in Luke chapter 2. It's Leviticus 12, 6 and 7. And in Leviticus 12, 6 and 7, we're told that what God wants is for the young mother to bring the offering, a turtle dove, two young pigeons, and to bring the offering to the temple and to give it to the priest. And then it says in Luke chapter 12, 6 and 7, that the priest will take the sin offering. The priest will make atonement. The priest will say a prayer for her. That's how it's described. But I want you to pay close attention to Luke chapter 2, because there's a transition going on in Luke chapter 2 that's easy to miss, unfortunately. Because in Luke chapter 2, we have the purification of Mary, the presentation of Christ, and undoubtedly the priest received the sin offering, made the atonement, said the prayer, all that undoubtedly happened. But here's the thing, none of that's recorded in Luke. Rather instructful to me is what is recorded in Luke chapter 2. Not the words and the work of the priest, but the words and the work of two lay people. The first one, Simeon. And Simeon says all those things. And Simeon is described as a holy and just person. And he lifts Jesus up and he says, these amazing things are going to happen through him. He is the Messiah. He is the light to the Gentiles. And then Luke chapter 2, as if to just emphasize that point even more so, then goes on to include not just what Simeon said about little baby Jesus, but then also what the prophetess Anna said about little baby Jesus. And the prophetess Anna is described in such glowing terms. I mean, any priest would hope to be described in this way. Always in the temple, holy and pure, right? And she says all these wonderful things about Jesus and about what he's going to do. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, there's this transition that's happening with the birth of the gospel, literally. And one of the transitions that's happening is that there will no longer be a priesthood in the order of Aaron. You need to write this down. You need to remember this. It's going to be replaced with the priesthood of the baptized. And who's the priesthood of the baptized? Let me ask you, have you been baptized? Men and women, boys and girls? Because if you've been baptized, then you are the priesthood of the baptized. And make no mistake about it, The authority that's given to the church is given to the priesthood of the baptized. The authority to baptize, the authority to consecrate the elements, the authority to forgive sins, all of these things are given to the priesthood of the baptized. It's great that we send missionaries on mission trips and we support missionaries overseas. We need to do that. But brothers and sisters in Christ, the priesthood of the baptized, that's you. And that, by the way, is me, too. Before I ever became a pastor, I was part of the priesthood of the baptized, and I never turned in my membership card. And one day I'm going to retire, and I'm still going to be part of the priesthood of the baptized. And so whatever your pastor does is only by the authority of you, who are the priesthood of the baptized. You give to your pastor the authority to act on your behalf in your stead and by the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I, we have this awesome responsibility of letting the world know, as Simeon and as Anna did, that we have been purified and that we are able to be presented before God Almighty because of his Son through the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our minds. Can we give God a praise clap for that today? Amen. That's our business. The Great Commission of the church is all of our business. And that's why I love our mission statement as a church, that we're going to glorify God. We, that's us, the priests of the baptized, that we're going to glorify God by spreading the gospel in our preaching, in our teaching, and in living our daily lives. So I want to wrap up with that little last little nugget from Simeon, that we would be a light to the Gentiles. He spoke this of Jesus. It's spoken of us, that we would be his light bearers in the world. What time is it, brothers and sisters in Christ? It is time to let the world know that purification and presentation is possible through the power of Jesus. Amen.